This is Novaya Arbat, one of the busiest shopping centres in central Moscow. And on the day of the coup, tanks rolled straight down here on their way to the Kremlin. I remember it well, a procession of military hardware rumbling past the shops and the big blockbuster cinema that's still here, horrified Muscovites watching in disbelief. For months before the tanks rolled in, Gorbachev's position had looked precarious. He'd surrounded himself with hardliners and was desperately trying to zigzag between them and reformers.
I made a silly mistake, but I was in such a bad way, upset, worn out with worry. I had to get a grip and sort myself out.
At a secret meeting, he offered his Russian rival Boris Yeltsin and President Nazarbayev of Kazakhstan a deal to share power in a new union treaty and talk to them about the need to get rid of the hardliners. His mistake was that he didn't realise their private conversation was being listened into.
Kruchkov, the KGB chief, had been recording us. He gave the tape to Yazov, the defence minister, to listen to, and then the others too. They all took fright and concluded they had nothing to lose. So they decided to go for a coup d'etat.
The coup plotters included the vice president and Gorbachev's own long-standing chief of staff, as well as the defence, interior and KGB chiefs. Another conspirator, now dead, was a senior military man, General Varennikov.
Лицея Горбачева – личность, которая не способна.
We saw in Gorbachev someone who was incapable of governing. We were quite convinced of this. But since he was the president, we decided our task must be to help him fulfill his functions.
The coup plotters dispatched a delegation down to the Black Sea to confront Gorbachev at his villa. They surrounded the compound with armed guards, and at a tense meeting, they demanded that either Gorbachev join them or agree to give up his powers.
I even swore at them. I said, go and convene a Congress, and we'll see whose plan gets more support, yours or mine. In the end, they left empty-handed. They flew back. I think they got drunk on the way, and reported back that Gorbachev had refused. Refused what? Refused to sign the order delegating my powers to the vice president due to the poor state of my health. What lies.
Flash. According to the Article 1277 of the USSR Constitution, Vice President of the USSR Gennady Genayev took office from Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev because Gorbachev...
Moscow Radio declared an emergency committee had taken over. The coup leaders ordered tanks and troops to secure the Kremlin, as I reported at the time.
Eyewitness reports in Moscow say that military vehicles, including tanks and armoured cars, are positioned at various strategic buildings in the city centre.
The news spread across the world, causing ripples of dismay. Outside the Russian parliament, Boris Yeltsin clambered up onto a tank and declared the coup illegal. He rallied people to join him in defending Russia's fledgling democracy. The many thousands gathered outside the Russian parliament realized that in 6 years of Gorbachev's reforms, they had lost their fear. Sir John Major, who was then Prime Minister.
You saw a coup in the Soviet Union that may have changed the whole face of it. And one saw it swept away. And it was swept away, I think, really, because of what had happened as a result of Gorbachev's reforms. Those reforms had bitten quite deep. And I think as a result of that, the coup leaders held back. They held back and they lost.
When Vice President Yanayev appeared on Soviet television, his hands were visibly shaking. It was clear the coup leaders did not have the stomach to see it through. There was neither enough support from the army nor enough fear in society anymore. Gorbachev, who'd been under house arrest in the Crimea the entire time, cut off, except for the BBC news reports he caught on his shortwave